Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Good Saturday morning, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Pat Bostic. This is Panthers Insider. We're here every Saturday from 8 to 9 a.m. Today is no different. A little dreary out there, but we're going to talk some football today. We're going to shed light on an important part of the Pitt community. Harry Passeros, who is the Pitt guru, the famed Pitt guru on Twitter or X, whatever you call it now, he's going to join the show at 8:20, and Harry obviously covers Pitt incredibly well for Pittsburgh Sports Now and has been doing so for a long time, but he just published a book, and Harry and his bride are the parents of a child on the autism spectrum, and he wrote a book about that journey as a parent, and I know a few parents that have deal with that and have had to deal with that, and it is more common than you think. And I want to have Harry join the program at 8:20 and talk about that journey and his book and where you can get it, because it's a powerful, powerful message. Before we get started today, though, I do want to – there was a tragedy outside the Peterson Event Center yesterday. I was in the office there, and there were all sorts of flashing lights, and I want to – what a sad, terrible incident, and want to just send out prayers and condolences for – the families affected by it. Certainly not expected and a freak deal, but you just never know in life and can't take anything for granted. And to bear witness to even the scene, I didn't see it happen, to bear witness to the scene is just a reminder of the fact that every day is precious and a blessing, and that life is precious itself. So God bless that poor woman and her family. I know they're grieving, and obviously really can't fathom what they're going through. So just wanted to start the show with that. So some more important things than Panther sports, but we're going to get back into it. And Harry Passeros again, who we'll get into some Pitt football and Pitt basketball talk with Harry at 8:20, but really want to talk about his book and how the Pitt community can rally around it and really learn about his fight and what he's gone through with his family and how it can help others. This week was an important week in college sports. There's news circulating everywhere if you follow it. I saw Pete Thamel on Yahoo Sports writing about the potential settlements in the House case and what that will look like for college sports moving forward. But we're going to focus on the here and now. And the here and now is the fact that the transfer portal is closed as of Tuesday night. It's closed for those entering the portal. So there are still players in the portal. So if you're in it, you can be acquired from it. However, absent of a coaching change or a program being folded, a head coaching change or a program being discontinued, no one can go into the portal as of Tuesday night. So the Pitt roster is relatively set. We're 119 days away from Pitt-Kent State at Acrisure Stadium on August 31st. At last tally, the Panthers, with an 85 scholarship limit, have 83, maybe 84 scholarships accounted for. What I want to dig into today is, where do they need to to add a piece or two. And I think the most commonsensical way to do that is to look at who's left. Who's left in the portal? Who are the key losses? Who are the key additions to this point? And yes, it's sad that we're talking about anyone leaving the program that didn't graduate or go to the NFL, but such is life right now. As of last tally, and credit 247 Sports for their tracking of the portal, Pitt has lost 20 players in the portal since the end of the season. Now, again, these aren't all scholarship players. They aren't all starters. But I took a stab at who I would deem to be the most significant losses at this point. I think DeAndre Jules and Sam Okunlola and Deion Hayes from that defensive line, certainly they're at the top of the list. And Okunlola and Hayes went to Colorado, so they're in Coach Prime effect. And DeAndre Jules went to South Carolina to play for Shane Beamer. Bengali Kamara joined him to South Carolina. So a couple package deals between Jules and Kamara and Hayes and Okunlola heading to Colorado and South Carolina respectively. So what's the concern there? Solomon DeShields also goes to Texas A&M. Let's just call a spade a spade. In the interest of honesty, those are your five most productive interior defenders, front seven guys, returning from last year's team. That's bluntly put. Kamara and DeShields started nearly every game. Bengali's been a factor, a force in this defense for a few seasons now. And both go to SEC programs. DeAndre Jules was certainly the biggest in terms of size, but also had the most upside of any returning interior defender and has an NFL prototypical defensive tackle body. Okunlola had the most upside at defensive end. Hayes was your most productive defensive end, at least in terms of pressures. Only had four sacks last year, but still was a factor, even though he didn't get to the quarterback as frequently as he or the Panthers would have liked. So to frame that properly, if you look at Pat Narduzzi's tenure as head coach of Pitt, which will enter its 10th season, August 31st, the Panthers' two worst seasons were 2023 and 2017. 5-7 in 2017, season was capped with a win over number two Miami at home. Kenny Pickett dives into the end zone. We remember it. 2023, obviously was a 3-9 campaign. Not expected. Still can't quite fathom how it happened. Both those seasons were, if you look at the stat lines, a common thread was it was their two worst years in terms of sack production. Only 31 sacks in 2023, 23 in 2017. There is a undeniable connection between getting pressure on the quarterback in Pat Narduzzi's defense and that not only their defensive success, but this program success. From 2019 to 2022, no team in Power 5 football had more sacks than the Pitt Panthers. So you couple that fact with, and we know, last year and even 2017, we can't ignore the fact that it was also their two worst offensive years in terms of production, points, yards, everything. That can't be ignored. This isn't a one stat line summary here. But I want to focus on the defense because that's where the majority of the attrition has been felt for this Pitt roster. How do you replace those five losses? And they're 5 of 20. There were other losses. We can go through them, but they're not as significant to me in terms of the defense. Largely, what we've seen the Panthers do is go younger. Nick James is a redshirt sophomore, transfer from Indiana, interior defensive lineman. So there's your Jules replacement, if you will, along with returners. Elliot Donald, Nekai Johnson moves inside, Bam Bremas played inside and outside, Sean Fitzsimmons. Nate Matlack, to me, you know, in terms of production, him and Deion are very similar. And from everything I see, watch, read, hear, this defense is going to give him a lot more freedom than he had at Kansas State. He's a one-and-done guy. Redshirt senior, had 4 sacks last year, same production as Deion Hayes. Saw a lot of good things from him in the spring. So there's your veteran replacement. David Ojigbe from Clemson, 4-star guy, Clemson transfer, comes in with expectations. Didn't see much of him in spring or the spring game, but he's young. And then they've gone to the transfer portal at the corner position, given the losses of MJ Devonshire. Congrats to him getting drafted by the Raiders. AJ Woods picked up by the Commanders as an undrafted free agent. And Marquez Williams, who will go to rookie minicamp next door with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tamon Lynham, Jeremiah Anglin, both young, redshirt freshmen. Both of them. So you're going to look to turn the tide on the lack of sack production, which 31 sacks was 7th in the ACC. It's by no means bad. But for this defense, it's not good. It's not what they've done. Where are you going to get this production from? And it's why I think if there are one or two more additions for this team in the portal, which I expect, you almost have to think it's going to be on the defensive front. You almost have to think it. I think they have some really promising players that are younger. Jimmy Scott's a guy that comes to mind. Certainly, Sincere Edwards was a really good bright spot in spring ball. Francis Brew, Jashir Whittington's a freshman. This is a young front seven. Young front seven. Now, I love the linebacker group. And we know that sacks and sack production don't just need to come from the defensive line. They can come from linebackers, corners, everywhere. I think the linebacking group, notwithstanding the losses of DeShields and Kamara, might be somewhat of a blessing, quite frankly, because you've got some really talented guys, Biles, Bass, Lovelace, behind those players, that had they not had the opportunity this year, they may have been the ones in the transfer portal with the way college football works. Case in point here, got to fortify that front seven with how Pitt has been successful under Pat Narduzzi. And this is obviously a really important season coming off last year. We're going to dig into that more. I want to dig into the 2024 schedule a little bit. I think it sets up quite nicely for the Panthers. Want to dig into that. We'll get into it more as the summer goes on, previewing opponent by opponent. But I just want to look at it as a whole because we're 119 days. So what is that? 4 months from kickoff. 4 short months until we're back playing football, and we don't have to worry about the transfer portal being the leading discussion point, at least for maybe 1 or 2 more weeks we'll talk about it, and then it'll be a dead issue until December. More Panthers Insider, Harry Passero stories of the program next. You're listening to 93.7 The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Welcome back to Panthers Insider. I'm Pat Bostic, and proud now to be joined by the famed Pit Guru, Harry Passeros, senior writer for Pittsburgh Sports Now, and all-around great guy. Harry, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing, Pat?
I am doing great, man. This is old hat for you. You've been on the book promotion trail, but I thought, man, I got to get you on the show for more than just Pit Talk because you've got it made, you've got it covered. But this is powerful stuff. Tell Panther fans about your book, From Struggle to Strength, A Father's Journey with Autism and the Power of Hope and Positivity. What was the impetus for this? I know it's a journey, and give us a little bit of background.
Sure. So, again, you know, Pat, it's an honor to be on the show. And I will tell you, I go back to 2014. I was speaking at the Autism Notebook Conference in Greentree here in Pittsburgh. And I was allotted 15 minutes, another speaker 15 minutes. The speaker that went on before me, quite frankly, got cold feet. And they looked at me and said, can you riff for about 20 minutes, maybe 25? I said, I have this. So it was the first time I ever spoke from a father's perspective. And as I did this, a multitude of mothers start lining up. One, two, three. It turned out there were about 10 to 12 in line. At first, I was wondering, you know, Passeros, did you offend someone? Like, did you say something? But then I realized all of them were very emotional. And when my speech was done, I mean, they grabbed me and said, Harry, we need your help. Our husbands aren't on board. And Pat, what you have to understand, if you and your spouse, if the husband and the wife aren't in unison when it comes to an autism diagnosis, that child is drifting off into the abyss where the father may put their ego before their child. What they don't realize is they're ultimately hurting their child. So I ended up having dinner with one of the fathers. I called all of them. Two of them hung up on me. I had several cups of coffee. And what I found was, in some cases, a father's stoicism. Fathers want to fix things. It's in their DNA. So it's easy if your child cuts themselves. You put a Band-Aid on it. The autism diagnosis is such a weighty diagnosis that they really felt basically weighted down and didn't know how to react. So the stoicism didn't mean they weren't all in, and we were able to kind of have that discussion with their wives. So at that time, I thought, maybe I need to write a book. And I'm glad I waited because life gives you more lessons. And about 2 years ago, I spoke at the Autism Caring Center. I'm on their board of directors, their Mother's Day conference. They had about 400 mothers in attendance. And as I was writing my speech, I go, this is my book, my son's story, plus all of my points of pontification coming as a father. And when I finished, I had a multitude, again, of mothers approach me, and I had the owner of Aurora Corialis Publishing, you know, come to me as well and go, you have to write this. Now, I will tell you, 17 years post my son's diagnosis, there are not any major authors out there from a father's perspective. Now, there are people that are actively involved. Keeping it to a sports vein, I mean, you got Dan Marino, Mario Lemieux, Doug Flutie. Even Pitt's own Brian O'Neill with the Vikings, his sister Lorraine is severely autistic, nonverbal. So, but if you look from a book standpoint, it's hard for me to believe there's a complete chasm. There's nothing there. So I have interacted with, there's a multitude of best-selling authors that are coming from a warrior mother's perspective, and I respect all of them. They're amazing. But, the you know, a male dynamic, a male psyche is completely different. So I'm proud to say that this book was number one now in two countries in its respective category, in the UK and United States. We have a huge international push in May, and I'm going to be a keynote speaker for the Autism Parenting Magazine's International Summit. This book will be read all around the world, and I'm thrilled beyond belief.
Well, we are too, and again, the title is From Struggle to Strength, The Father's Journey with Autism and the Power of Hope and Positivity. Harry Pseros joins the program. Great Pitt guy, covers Pitt for Pittsburgh Sports Now, but more importantly, a father and one that is advocating for the power of fatherhood with autistic children. You know, I can't help but look at the cover of the book, which I have on my iPad in front of me. First of all, kudos to you for the Pitt colors. I don't think that's a coincidence.
That's not a coincidence. I'm glad you caught that.
but it's a pair of boxing gloves. It's a pair of boxing gloves. What's the significance of that?
You know, so what I bring, I'm a martial artist of multiple black belts in Tung Soo Do, and I, when I was at Pitt, I boxed. And, you know, what I wanted to bring, Pat, everything in life is mindset. Everything in life is perspective, in particular mindset, though. So I wanted to bring like a warrior's mentality to the journey. And when I say that, in a good way. So there's no prescriptive how-to when it comes to autism. If you meet one child on the spectrum, you meet one child. My son, who I deeply love, Gus, is going to be coming home in a week from his sophomore year at Kent State University. That same 20-year-old could be in diapers. So the point being, you know, what I wanted to do was really, really tap into the mindset that it takes to succeed raising a special needs child. And the themes in this book are hope, positivity, grit, and resilience. And I wanted to light a fire. The greatest compliment I received. I'm dealing with a multitude of major, major book influencers. And two or three got a hold of me and said, you know, we finished your book, and if you eliminate autism, it's a motivational book. And I said, that's it. I said, you know, I said, it's really meant to light a fire and to create a mental construct of positivity and grit to help them through the experience. And I thought of two, you know, people in mind, fathers that were belligerent. This book is under 150 pages for a reason. If I handed them Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, they'd be throwing it away. This is an easy 1 to 2 day read. I think it's why it's selling so well. It's a very palpable book. The other thing I thought about were the newly diagnosed parents that were just in that fog. I know what it's like. My wife and I have been there, where you're thinking, oh my, what do we do now? You know, this is with my child for the rest of their life. It's a calming presence to read the book, but it also lights a fire underneath them. I mean, the last words in this book are give them hell. And there's a reason for that. You know, I wanted to really charge them up. So I, you know, my ultimate goal with this book is to help people. And that's where I'm really, the feedback has been amazing. It's really helping a lot of people, and it's only 2 weeks out.
Really powerful stuff. Appreciate you coming on and sharing that perspective. Again, you can find it on Amazon. Where are places that folks can get the book and get it fast?
Yeah, definitely. Amazon, and it's also available on Kindle. I have a studio ready to go. I'm going to be filming the Audible soon. And again, you know, Pat, 1 in 36 children right now are getting diagnosed. It's not going away. This book is good in perpetuity. If you want to simply learn about autism, I would suggest read the book. Or if you know, ultimately, you know, if you're not affected by autism, you know somebody that is. So I'm hoping this book helps a multitude of people. And again, I appreciate you letting me talk about it today on the show.
Yeah, we'll transition now. And again, we'll get this podcast and get that out to you, so the folks that aren't listening live can certainly hear this perspective and get an understanding for what the book's all about. But you said your Gus is a sophomore at Kent State?
Yes.
He's raised in a Pitt family now. So August 31st, what's the allegiance here with my man Gus?
Oh, that's... my goodness. I know. I told him, I said, buddy, I love you, but hey, I'm Pitt blue and gold forever. So it's going to, you know, I mean, we're going to be talking smack for quite some time leading up to that game. And I got to tell you, God bless him. I never pressured my boys where to go. My youngest will be playing football next year for Allegheny College. And, go Gators. And,
oh, yeah.
But I got to tell you, no, they know where I stand. Although I will tell you this, they are diehard Pitt fans, both of them. You can imagine growing up in this whole household. So, but that's going to be a fun game. We're really looking forward to it.
You know, Harry, and we're joined by Harry Passeros, author of From Struggle to Strength, A Father's Journey with Autism, and the Hope, the Power and Hope of Positivity. Also, as a senior writer for Pittsburgh Sports. Now, you've been covering Pitt for over 20 years. I mean, you do it well. You've got a day job, too. You're a martial artist. I don't know what you can't do. But I just want to get your perspective, and we've seen each other at many events. Your perspective on the state of college sports, Harry, because I talk a lot about it on this show. I just talked about it in the first segment about how the transfer portal closed so we can all breathe easy for a little bit. But just your perspective on the state of college sports. We talked a little bit yesterday, and I think it's in a place that no one saw it getting to.
You know, Pat, I could talk for an hour on this. What's amazing to me, I founded the original site covering Pitt sports, the Pitt Gurus Panther page. That progressed on to Rivals and then the Scout and all of that. So in many ways, I'm like recruiting Yoda when it comes to Pitt. I started it years ago. You know, back then you had one national letter of intent day. That was so exciting to me. It was like the Super Bowl. You know, you'd wait. You'd be checking in on all the players, and the relationships I developed back then were great because you covered them forever. Then they split it to two days where players could sign. But now with NIL, it's the Wild West, and it's a bit out of control. What really, really concerns me is like the age of development. And the reason I say that, Pitt, you know, we've always been great at landing the solid three-star recruit and maybe sprinkling in some four-star recruits, and on a rare occasion, maybe a Shady or Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep.
But, you know, we could always kind of tip our hat at development. And what bothers me right now about NIL is the transactional, just everything seems to be very transactional. There seems to be very few allegiances to a school, and it's now more monetary-based money. And I get that. I understand wanting to bank on your name, but there was I hate to say this, I'm old school, a beauty to watching a player that had an allegiance to a school that simply developed through time, and you saw them shine by their junior and senior year. Now they have one good year and they're shopping themselves, you know, and I'm still trying to get used to it. And I will tell you, I am forever pro Pitt. But I actually have an issue retweeting the players that are announcing, hey, I'm coming back. I'm a freshman. I'm a sophomore. And it's like, well, yeah, you kind of should. You know, I mean, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I never thought of announcing my return after, the spring semester of my sophomore year. I mean, when I was...
I had to wrap my head in duct tape when I saw the first announcement because, again, maybe I'm showing my age. I've been doing this way too long, but there was a beauty, a mythos to signing that player. And I used to get a kick. You know, the fans, they're very fatalistic. If a kid didn't play immediately, they're like, well, he's going to leave, right? Just cut him. But they would eventually progress and develop, and there was something great about that. And you know, like I said, now the rosters in particular are changing left and right. And if you have something like Coach Prime at Colorado, his model to me is absolute chaos. I mean, you don't even know what team you have year to year. Forget development. He's buying a team. I love what Pat Narduzzi does. I'm a Pat Narduzzi fan. I think Goose and his staff have done a great job with development. I mean, I look at guys like Servacier, or even more recent, Matt Gonsalves. I was at Bethany Beach, Delaware, interviewing his coach, and the fans were going nuts, wondering why we took a reach, and then here we go. He just got taken in the third round of the Colts,
yep.
You know. And I love that, but that type of story, watching Matt go from this no-name giant kid out of New York to watching him develop into an elite offensive tackle and get taken by the Colts, it's magical. Now, you know, like I said, the majority of these kids are shopping themselves. I mean, it's crazy to me. And I mean, I wish Deion Hayes the best, but to see a player that's Pittsburgh born and raised and it looked like he'd be a leader on defense this year and just bam, up and leave and go to Coach Prime, I mean, it's a little disheartening to say the least. So I am still trying to wrap my head around the age of NIL. I do believe it's out of control, and I do believe the NCAA has to somehow curtail what's going on. I mean, and you and I both know tampering is done now. Every school does it. It's crazy. So that being said, I want to take a step back. Any Panther fan listening to this, it is what it is. It's the new normal, and I think you have to hop behind something like Alliance 412 and help them out.
Have to. It's critical, and either evolve or die. Right. That's the mentality. I do think there are changes coming to the landscape, to the model. At the end of the day, and you've been covering this for a long time, the Mac and Solaces are more plentiful than the ones you read about that go to four schools, and that may skew over time back to the center, but certainly this landscape right now is unsustainable. I think we all can agree on that. But the reality of it is the Alliance 412, the strength of that organization in many ways is tethered to the sustainability and the relevancy of Pitt football and Pitt basketball and certainly all the other sports. It is the vehicle right now. And so I totally concur with your opinion. And Harry, I got to get to a break, but I want to really thank you for coming on today. We'll have you on more often. You got great perspective on Pitt, but I applaud you and taking your story, which everybody has a plight. Everyone has a struggle, their cross to bear, if you will, in life. But to use it to help others should really be applauded. Kudos to you. Go find the book. Read the book. Buy it on Amazon, Kindle. Audiobook coming soon, From Struggle to Strength by Harry Passeros. Harry, have a great day. Appreciate
you, man.
Thank you so much, Pat.
It was an honor to be on.
You got it.
Thank you so much.
You got it, my man. There he goes, Harry Passeros. He is he's a true Pitt guy, man. He see him at every event. He's got his boys with him. It'll be interesting to see Gus on August 31st. I'm not sure. I'm not sure he'll be wearing Kent State gear at Acrisure Stadium, but we'll find out. More Panthers Insider are going to dig into the Pitt football schedule next on 93.7 The Fan. Back on Panthers Insider, finishing out the show. Shout out to Harry Passeros, who joined the program last segment. Promote his book. Talk a little Pitt sports. Harry is he's an intense guy, man. I didn't realize he had multiple black belts. That'll keep me from messing with him at any point in time. I would never do that anyway. He's too nice of a guy. But shout out to him and his family for sharing their story and for all he does to promote Pitt. He's down the middle. Obviously, he covers things objectively. He's been doing it for a long time, but you can feel that Pitt passion he has, and you'll see him around Acrisure Stadium for sure this fall. With the Panthers looking to bounce back in 2024, 3-9 season, I still struggle to say that in 2023. But a schedule that I think, with season tickets, renewals were completed, obviously still available. You look at their schedule this season; it's an interesting one. It's an interesting schedule that I think has a lot of opportunities, certainly for wins, but also it's backloaded. So if the Panthers are able to kind of catch their stride, you put yourself in a position to knock off some pretty, what you would think would be pretty significant squads in terms of factoring into the ACC picture for an ACC championship potential berth. Things kick off August 31st with Kent State. Kent State's 1-11 last year. They're looking to obviously bounce back. That'll be the home opener at Acrisure Stadium. You heard Harry talk about his son, Gus, who's a sophomore there. Should be a game. Obviously, the Panthers take care of business. Cade Bell's new offense. We'll get to see the full picture of that against the Golden Flashes at Acrisure Stadium. And then it's on the road. And a couple revenge games in a row for the Panthers. But, going to Nippert Stadium, Panthers haven't been in Nippert Stadium, I think, since 2012, if I am remembering correctly. That was the last year the Panthers were in the Big East Conference. That was Paul Chryst's first season. That game did not go well. Either did last year's game at Acrisure Stadium, the Panthers losing 27-21. Cincinnati went 3-9 last year as well under new head coach Scott Satterfield. They've made a ton of offseason acquisitions and changes. So two ball clubs, ACC, Big 12, looking to get off on a better foot in 2024 than they did in 23. The Panthers will head on the road to Nippert Stadium. This is a Cincinnati program that was perennially a top 25, top 15 program for a couple years running before a tough 2024 season. So very similar position to Pitt, notwithstanding Scott Satterfield being in year two in Cincinnati. West Virginia The Backyard Brawl, September 14th, Hall of Fame weekend for Pitt. Be a raucous atmosphere at Acrisure Stadium. We'll see what time that game kicks off. I'm not sure what the Pirates' schedule is right now. That's always a factor in these early season contests with baseball taking place just down the street, just down Federal Street at PNC Park. But the Backyard Brawl back at Acrisure Stadium before the Panthers round out their non-conference schedule against Youngstown State at Acrisure Stadium on the 21st. Then it's a bye week. I think it's always nice to knock out non-conference, get an open week, reset before you head to Canadian Memorial Stadium in Chapel Hill, North Carolina to take on the Tar Heels, a Drake Mayless Tar Heel football team. Panthers lost to the Tar Heels. They've had very minimal success against North Carolina as members of the Atlantic Coast Conference, save for 2021, which obviously the Panthers won the ACC championship that year. In the rain, the Kenny Pickett versus Sam Howell shootout, the Panthers won that game in overtime. Pickett to Lucas Kroll on a slant route to win that ball game just before the driving rain got a hold of Sam Howell, and MJ Devonshire closed that game out with a pick. So this will be an interesting one. Obviously a new quarterback for Carolina, but that'll kick off ACC play. And then the Cal Golden Bears come to Acrisure Stadium for the first time. Cal, Stanford, SMU, new members of the ACC, officially will be welcomed July 1st. But the Panthers get two of the three, one at home, Cal, and then they'll head to SMU later in the season. We'll get to that one. Cal coming off a 6-7 season. I think the way the schedule is going to work is Pitt's going to play two of the three new schools every year, so they only have to make one, and one of those will be a road game, one will be a home game. So it'll be, in terms of the West Coast travel, you'll get one every 2 years, essentially, is how that will work. And Dallas, obviously, being where SMU is located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, certainly be a hot commodity. Another open week, the 19th. Then Syracuse comes to town for a popular Thursday night game. New head coach up for the Orange. They've made a lot of moves in the portal. Obviously, the Panthers were in a rock fight with Syracuse up in the Bronx last year and proved to be a losing effort for the Panthers that were unable to muster much offense. And it was a Syracuse offense that was basically running the wing T with a tight end playing quarterback. So another revenge game for Pitt, if you want to frame it that way. Acrisure Stadium on a Thursday night. That gives them a long week to head to Dallas. So a longer road trip. Go play SMU. That'll be an up-tempo game for both teams now, with Cade Bell at the controls of the Pitt offense. Certainly Rhett Lashley, the head coach of SMU, is an offensive guy. So that has promises of being a fun ball game. Virginia comes to Acrisure Stadium. Tony Elliott trying to get things going for the Cavaliers. They've made some offseason moves. How do the Cavaliers reload? But obviously a winnable game. And then things get real. Then things get real. So you get to that point. Let's say you get to that point where you got three games remaining. Let's say the Panthers at that point are sitting at 7-2, 8-1. Let's talk hypothetical. Clemson comes to town. Panthers with seven home games this year. You got to think Clemson's in the mix at that point. Then you're at Louisville. Two games where you've got teams that have been in the ACC championship each of the last 2 years. Clemson, bit of a drought in that regard. They haven't got the quarterback play that has really driven them with Trevor Lawrence and otherwise over the years. But you've got those two opportunities before heading to BC on Thanksgiving weekend. Now, I know we tend to look at things with a positive lens, especially in May. But two Big 12 opportunities early in the season. Youngstown State's no pushover ever. They 8-5 last year, played a lot of teams tough. They only lost to Ohio State, only gave 35 points to Ohio State in the horseshoe last year. They're always a FCS playoff team, so you can't overlook that. Kent State, you know, a MAC squad. But two Big 12 opportunities, one on the road, and obviously a national TV game likely with West Virginia. And then a conference schedule that is pretty doable, and you hit your stride in November. Who knows, man? You get Clemson back. This is very much like 2021 in terms of Clemson being at Acrisure Stadium late in the season. with a chance to really bolster your resume. If you're in a position to get ranked there, those are the types of wins that move you up in terms of the pollsters and what they think. What needs to happen for this to be the turnaround that Pitt wants this year? What needs to happen? You ask yourself that question. I point to what was discussed just a little bit ago, my first segment of the show. Got to get more production up front from that pass rush. That pass rush has got to be better. I love the safety position. I like what they've done at the corner position, although it's inexperienced. But the lives of those corners and safeties are made much easier and much more doable if pressure is able to be put on the quarterback. 31 sacks in 2023. Not terrible, but this is a team that you can really look at indicators of success. I mean, if you look at Pat Narduzzi's record when they've had four or five plus sacks, it's a bunch of wins and only a handful of losses. It is such a key component to how they play football. Not even considering what the offensive side of the ball does, how it plays, who's a quarterback. That's a critical component. Quarterback play. I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is not a knock on anybody. I know Phil Dracovic is hopefully going to find his way into a camp or some sort of OTA to play. I think he's going to try to play tight end. Christian Vayer transfers to Georgia State. I think with mediocre quarterback play, this is a 6 or 7 win team last year. I really believe that. You look at some of the offensive output, 6 points at West Virginia, 21 points against Cincinnati, and this is a Cincinnati team that lost a lot of the defensive line coming into 24. Nate Yarnell, if he's the player he was those last two games, against BC and Duke in this new offense with some exciting weapons, got to stay healthy up front, plenty of options at tailback, I like the chances because I think he brings the leadership, the moxie, the consistency that he didn't have a year ago. Just didn't have it. But those two things to me, a quarterback play and pass rush, I mean, it's Captain Obvious a little bit, but for Pitt, if you looked at their years of success and their years of, you know, being subpar, those are two indicators of where this team's going to go. And we're 119 days away from finding out, even less until training camp. August 31st, Acrisure Stadium, Pitt, Kent State. It's been a fun show today. Covered a lot of ground. Always goes fast. We're going to continue digging into this season, talk a little hoops, talk other things as well. But I appreciate Harry Passeros coming on. Every now and then, I think it's important to widen the lens and talk about things that are more important than sports. Because, yes, we are a sports station, but, you know, life happens. And kudos to Harry for sharing his story and hopefully helping parents that have autistic children in their battle and their fight to try to give those children the best possible life they can. Back next week. Appreciate all you guys tuning in this morning. Before I go, you got to listen to Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. on the 937thefan.com contesting page. Talk to you next week. Hail to Pitt.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck.
Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Back on Panthers Insider, finishing out the show. Shout out to Perry Passeros, who joined the program last segment. Promote his book, talk a little Pitt sports. Harry is he's an intense guy, man. I didn't realize he had multiple black belts. That'll keep me from messing with him at any point in time. I would never do that anyway. He's too nice of a guy. But shout out to him and his family for sharing their story and for all he does to promote Pitt. He's down the middle. Obviously, he covers things objectively. He's been doing it for a long time, but you can feel that Pitt passion he has, and you'll see him around Acrisure Stadium for sure this fall. With the Panthers looking to bounce back in 2024, 3-9 season. I still struggle to say that in 2023. But a schedule that I think with season tickets, you know, renewals were completed, obviously still available. You look at their schedule this season, it's an interesting one. It's an interesting schedule that I think has a lot of opportunities, certainly for wins, but also it's backloaded. So if the Panthers are able to kind of catch their stride, you put yourself in a position to knock off some pretty, what you would think would be pretty significant squads in terms of factoring into the ACC picture for an ACC championship potential berth. Things kick off August 31st with Kent State. Kent State's, you know, 1-11 last year. They're looking to obviously bounce back. That'll be the home opener at Acrisure Stadium. You heard Harry talk about his son Gus, who's a sophomore there. Should be a game. Obviously, the Panthers take care of business. Cade Bell's new offense. We'll get to see the full picture of that against the Golden Flashes at Acrisure Stadium. And then it's on the road. And a couple revenge games in a row for the Panthers. But, you know, going to Nippert Stadium, Panthers haven't been to Nippert Stadium, I think, since 2012, if I am remembering correctly. That was the last year the Panthers were in the Big East Conference. That was Paul Chryst's first season. That game did not go well. Either did last year's game at Acrisure Stadium, the Panthers losing 27-21. Cincinnati went 3-9 last year as well under new head coach Scott Satterfield. They've made a ton of off-season acquisitions and changes. So two ball clubs, ACC, Big 12, looking to get off on a better foot in 2024 than they did in 23. The Panthers will head on the road to Nippert Stadium. This is a Cincinnati program that was perennially a top 25, top 15 program for a couple years running before a tough 2024 season. So very similar position to Pitt. Notwithstanding Scott Satterfield being in year two in Cincinnati. West Virginia, the Backyard Brawl, September 14th, Hall of Fame weekend for Pitt. Be a raucous atmosphere at Acrisure Stadium. We'll see what time that game kicks off. I'm not sure what the Pirates' schedule is right now. That's always a factor in these early season contests with baseball taking place just down the street, just down Federal Street at PNC Park. But the Backyard Brawl back at Acrisure Stadium before the Panthers round out their non-conference schedule against Youngstown State at Acrisure Stadium on the 21st. Then it's a bye week. I think it's always nice to knock out non-conference, get an open week, reset before you head to Canadian Memorial Stadium in Chapel Hill, North Carolina to take on the Tar Heels, a Drake Mayless Tar Heel football team. Panthers lost to the Tar Heels. They've had very minimal success against North Carolina as members of the Atlantic Coast Conference, save for 2021, which obviously the Panthers won the ACC championship that year. In the rain, the Kenny Pickett versus Sam Howell shootout, the Panthers won that game in overtime. Pickett to Lucas Kroll on a slant route to win that ball game just before the driving rain got a hold of Sam Howell, and MJ Devonshire closed that game out with a pick. So this will be an interesting one. Obviously a new quarterback for Carolina, but that'll kick off ACC play. And then the Cal Golden Bears come to Acrisure Stadium for the first time. Cal, Stanford, SMU, new members of the ACC, officially will be welcomed July 1st. But the Panthers get two of the three, one at home, Cal, and then they'll head to SMU later in the season. We'll get to that one. Cal coming off a 6-7 season. I think the way the schedule is going to work is Pitt's going to play two of the three new schools every year, so they only have to make one. And one of those will be a road game, one will be a home game. So it'll be, in terms of the West Coast travel, you'll get one every 2 years, essentially, is how that will work. And Dallas, obviously, being where SMU is located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, certainly be a hot commodity. Another open week, the 19th. Then Syracuse comes to town for a popular Thursday night game. New head coach up for the Orange. They've made a lot of moves in the portal. Obviously, the Panthers were in a rock fight with Syracuse up in the Bronx last year, and proved to be a losing effort for the Panthers that were unable to muster much offense. And it was a Syracuse offense that was basically running the wing T with a tight end playing quarterback. So another revenge game for Pitt, if you want to frame it that way. Acrisure Stadium on a Thursday night. That gives them a long week to head to Dallas. So a longer road trip. Go play SMU. That'll be an up-tempo game for both teams now, with Cade Bell at the controls of the Pitt offense. Certainly Rhett Lashley, the head coach of SMU, is an offensive guy. So that has promises of being a fun ball game. Virginia comes to Acrisure Stadium. Tony Elliott trying to get things going for the Cavaliers. They've made some offseason moves. How do the Cavaliers reload? But obviously a winnable game. And then things get real. Then things get real. So you get to that point. Let's say you get to that point where you got three games remaining. Let's say the Panthers at that point are sitting at 7-2, 8-1. Let's talk hypothetical. Clemson comes to town. Panthers with seven home games this year. You got to think Clemson's in the mix at that point. Then you're at Louisville. Two games where you've got teams that have been in the ACC championship each of the last 2 years. Clemson, bit of a drought in that regard. They haven't got the quarterback play that has really driven them with Trevor Lawrence and otherwise over the years. But you've got those two opportunities before heading to BC on Thanksgiving weekend. Now, I know we tend to look at things with a positive lens, especially in May. But two Big 12 opportunities early in the season. Youngstown State's no pushover ever. They 8-5 last year, played a lot of teams tough. They only lost to Ohio State. Only gave 35 points to Ohio State in the horseshoe last year. They're always an FCS playoff team, so you can't overlook that. Kent State, you know, a MAC squad. But two Big 12 opportunities, one on the road, and obviously a national TV game likely with West Virginia. And then a conference schedule that is pretty doable, and you hit your stride in November, who knows, man? You get Clemson back. This is very much like 2021 in terms of Clemson being at Acrisure Stadium late in the season with a chance to really bolster your resume. If you're in a position to get ranked there, those are the types of wins that move you up in terms of the pollsters and what they think. What needs to happen for this to be the turnaround that Pitt wants this year? What needs to happen? You ask yourself that question. I point to what was discussed just a little bit ago, my first segment of the show. Got to get more production up front from that pass rush. That pass rush has got to be better. I love the safety position. I like what they've done at the corner position, although it's inexperienced. But the lives of those corners and safeties are made much easier and much more doable if pressure is able to be put on the quarterback. 31 sacks in 2023. Not terrible, but this is a team that you can really look at indicators of success. I mean, if you look at Pat Narduzzi's record when they've had four or five plus sacks, it's a bunch of wins and only a handful of losses. It is such a key component of how they play football. Not even considering what the offensive side of the ball does, how it plays, who's a quarterback. That's a critical component. Quarterback play. I've said this before, I'll say it again. This is not a knock on anybody. I know Phil Dracovic is hopefully going to find his way into a camp or some sort of OTA to play. I think he's going to try to play tight end. Christian Vayer transfers to Georgia State. I think with mediocre quarterback play, this is a 6 or 7 win team last year. I really believe that. You look at some of the offensive output, 6 points at West Virginia, 21 points against Cincinnati, and this is a Cincinnati team that lost a lot of the defensive line coming into 24. Nate Yarnell, if he's the player he was those last two games, if he's the player he was those last two games against BC and Duke in this new offense with some exciting weapons, got to stay healthy up front, plenty of options at tailback, I like the chances because I think he brings the leadership of the moxie, the consistency that he didn't have a year ago. Just didn't have it. But those two things to me, a quarterback play and pass rush, I mean, it's Captain Obvious a little bit, but for Pitt, if you looked at their years of success and their years of, you know, being subpar, those are two indicators of where this team's going to go. And we're 119 days away from finding out, even less until training camp. August 31st, Acrisure Stadium, Pitt, Kent State. It's been a fun show today. Covered a lot of ground. Always goes fast. We're going to continue digging into this season, talk a little hoops, talk other things as well. But I appreciate Harry Peseros coming on. Every now and then, I think it's important to widen the lens and talk about things that are more important than sports. Because, yes, we are a sports station, but, you know, life happens. And kudos to Harry for sharing his story and hopefully helping parents that have autistic children in their battle and their fight to try to give those children the best possible life they can. Back next week. Appreciate all you guys tuning in this morning. Before I go, you got to listen to Joe every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from Baseball Card Castle and Cranberry. Contest run every Wednesday through Friday at 12 p.m. on the 937thefan.com contesting page. Talk to you next week. Hail to Pitt.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.